Season 1, Episode 12 of New York Undercover is entitled Blondes Have More Fun and premiered on Thursday, December 8, 1994, when Boyz II Men's On Bended Knee was the number one song in the United States and The Santa Claus starring Tim Allen was the number one movie at the box office. The episode description of our episode reads, the detectives investigate a string of related murders involving members of the New York drag community. This episode is directed by Helene Head, the first of two episodes Head would direct of the series. The episode is written by series co-creator Kevin Arcady, with the teleplay from Arcady and Robert Ward. Key guest stars in this episode include Joe Morton, James McCaffrey, Cameron Manheim, and Xander Berkeley, all television series veterans. And last but very not least, musical guest and music icon Mavis Staples. The cold open of our episode is set to the sounds of Uncanny Alliance's A Beautiful Damn It, as we see images of Manhattan and a young male, probably in his mid to late 20s, driving a taxi cab around New York City and picking up fares. Now that's his day job. His night job is dressing in drag and dancing and performing in drag clubs around the city. As he is walking home late at night, he is approached by an unknown individual in front of a church who offers him a cigarette light, and then proceeds to plunge a knife into his chest, killing him dead. The killer then drops a pearl necklace on the victim's body as we fade to black. Hi everyone, I'm Chris Rose, and welcome back to New York Undercover Rewind, the podcast that discusses all things related to the TV series New York Undercover. Thank you for listening. Be sure to subscribe, rate, and review us. And check us out on X, formerly known as Twitter, at NYUndercoverTV. Yep, I know it's been a minute since we've had a new podcast, but I've used the time to recharge, take some vacation time, watch a solar eclipse, experience an earthquake. It's good to be back, good to be alive. Hey, I hope everyone had a chance to check out the Tamron Hall talk show recently. She had a New York Undercover cast reunion featuring Malik Yoba, Michael DeLorenzo, and Luna Lauren Velez. It was their first joint interview in over 25 years. They discussed the importance of the show in terms of representation for Black and Brown audiences, and they also announced that they would be embarking on a tour to various cities to celebrate the 30-year anniversary of the show. Exciting stuff ahead. Act 1 opens back at the station house with Cooper alerting the detectives of the dead body. Before they head to the sea, Torres is surprised at how good of a mood JC is in after breaking up with Sandy in the previous episode. JC reminds him that nothing happened with Tammy. At the scene, medical examiner Wong, sarcastic as usual, tells the detectives that the victim, known as Rubio and Emilio, is a man that was stabbed 6 times and died between 4 and 5 a.m. Meanwhile, Dean Harris, played by veteran actor Joe Morton, arrives upon the scene, distraught at the sight of his murdered friend with whom he shared an apartment. Harris owns a drag club nearby. Turns out there are a string of drag queen killings. Two other drag queens, Martin Case and Devin Kingsley, were also killed recently. So there could be a serial killer on the loose. Now Cooper tells Williams and Torres that they can't go into the club as two macho men, intimating that they will need to dress up in drag. After Cooper walks away, Torres says, "I ain't putting on no dress." With Sherry Lynn's To Be Real in the background, we then see Williams and Torres dressed in drag enter the club nervously until they are greeted by Dean, aka Dinah. Torres, dressed in a blue gown, is using the name Venus, and Williams, dressed in a blonde wig and red dress, goes by Fantasia. Both detectives get into the spirit and dance on stage with the drag queens. Later, JC stops by Sandy's apartment and again tries to get on her good side. She tells him that there is a partner dinner coming up. Remember, she's an attorney. Back at the club, we meet a few more people of interest. Actor James McCaffrey, who recently passed away back in December of 2023, appears in this episode as documentary filmmaker Jack Dale. Now, McCaffrey would later appear in the series in another role as a cop and lover of Lieutenant Cooper. He also starred in the Dick Wolf-created UPN series Swift Justice with Gary Dordan, which I chronicled in an earlier New York Undercover Rewind podcast. Xander Berkeley of 24 fame also appears here as Dr. Kurt Weckshook. While Drew Cheney, played by actor Mike Hodge, bursts in and refers to the drag queens as a bunch of freaks. Fade to black. Act 2 opens back at the station house with Cooper, Old School, and the detectives discussing suspects in the case, and Cooper telling them to keep an eye on Cheney. The next scene finds JC and Sandy at Natalie's watching R&B legend and civil rights activist Mavis Staples performing her hit song, I'll Take You There. The song was released in 1972 when Staples was a member of her family's group, the Staples Singers. The song spent a total of 15 weeks in the charts and reached number one on the Billboard Hot 100. It actually remains one of the best-selling gospel songs of all time. Now, JC and Sandy are there with Sandy's co-workers from the UK, who mentioned a job opportunity in the UK that JC was not exactly aware of. Uh-oh. Trouble. Back at the drag club, the detectives are back undercover and vamping on stage with the other drag queens to get to the bottom of the murder. Torres, as Venus, sits with Jack, the videographer and documentary filmmaker, and watches video of the murder victim, Rubio Emilio. On video, we see the victim mention that she was going to break up with Dinah because she was jealous and possessive and had a temper. We also learn that Dinah was a Golden Globes champion, which means that she's good with her hands and quick and sight. We also see more of Dinah's temper while she is sitting at the table with Williams as Fantasia. Could Dinah have been the murderer? The scene ends with Cheney showing back up at the club and getting into a fight and shoving match with Dinah. She has to be broken up by the two undercover detectives. Fade to black. Before we continue with the recap, it's time for a trivia question. Actor Joe Morton, who guest stars as Dean / Dinah in this episode, co-starred as Eli Pope on what ABC drama? The answer at the end of this episode. Act 3 opens back at the precinct with Cheney in Cooper's office with Torres and Williams now revealing themselves as cops, of course. Turns out Cheney has two priors for beating up on homosexuals in Salt Lake City a few years prior. He denies that he is a homophobe and was just protecting himself. Cooper likes Cheney for the murder, but the detectives are not convinced and think Dinah may be involved. Cooper tells them they need to find a witness to prove Cheney is the murderer, or they will have to let him go. Torres, now back to being dressed as a plainclothes cop, visits Jack and learns Cheney's employee, Lou Jack, may have information on Cheney. They find him at Riverside Park, and he begins to run away and hops on a bicycle, and they give chase and tackle him. They learn from Lou Jack that Cheney and Dinah are better friends than they let on and spend hours of the day talking and laughing. Torres gets a call on his huge-ass cell phone that another drag queen has been found dead. Lucille has been found dead of stab wounds in an abandoned lot. Williams and Torres visit Dinah and suggest she and Cheney are friends, and Lucille found out about it and was killed. They arrest Dinah. Meanwhile, Jack the filmmaker follows Dr. Weschler, the doctor who wrote the book about transvesticism, and gains access to an apartment while he is not there. He films around his apartment and finds newspaper clippings about the killings, drag outfits, and a mannequin with Lucille's face on it. And he is then hit on the head from behind by Weschler, who peers into Jack's camera with a menacing look and says, "Smile, Jack, because you're in my movie now." Fade to black. The fourth and final act begins at the station house with actress Cameron Manheim, in one of her earliest roles, guest starring as Dinah's lawyer and telling Cooper and the detectives that they don't have enough evidence to charge her client, and alleges that they can be facing a civil suit for false arrest. Cooper realizes she is right and tells them to check with Dr. Weschler. They arrive at Weschler's brownstone apartment and immediately smell something recognizable. Smell of a dead body. which they find on the second floor, a male dead body. And it's actually the body of the real Dr. Wechsler. But if the dead guy is Dr. Wechsler, who's the guy pretending to be Wechsler? Torres remembers reading a passage from the book and the mention of a patient named Milton Mosby. They go through the doctor's files and find a folder and picture of Mosby to confirm his identity. Meanwhile, Mosby is holding Jack hostage and handcuffed upside down in his apartment. The detectives go back to Dinah and ask for his help in finding Mosby. They succeed and they arrive and bust down the door right after Mosby escapes through the back steps and up to the roof. They give chase and with guns drawn, corner him at the edge of the rooftop. JC tells him, "Give it up, Milton. It's over, baby." Milton says, "Actually, guys, it's been over for years." And Milton free falls off the roof to the ground below. Dead. The show ends with JC on the phone with Sandy and her telling him about not deciding to go with the job offer in London. She tells him that she wants to come over and tell him about her new job direction and surprises him by being right outside his apartment door. They kiss and hug as we fade to black. End of episode. I give this episode a B. It's a change of pace episode as it doesn't deal with the typical storylines we've grown accustomed to seeing on the show thus far. It's interesting to watch the two macho detectives, Williams and Torres, put aside their insecurities about dressing up in drag and go into a world where lots of homophobia exists. That's the interesting part, and I think Joe Morton does an excellent job as a drag queen in giving a voice to an underrepresented group that many people probably didn't understand 30 years ago when this episode was filmed. The uninteresting part is that this episode moves kind of slow. It doesn't really pick up until the final 10 minutes when we realize that Mosby has been pretending to be Wechsler. The JC Sandy angle in this episode is also off because it's pretty odd that she would invite him to any work dinners with her colleagues after he ruined her chances a few episodes back. Doesn't really make any sense. But that's my minor quibble. Now, before we finish, let's go back to the trivia question. Actor Joe Morton, who guest stars as Dean Dinah in this episode, co-starred as Eli Pope on what ABC drama? The answer? Scandal. Morton won a Primetime Emmy in 2014 for Outstanding Guest Actor in a Drama Series for the role. His body of work also includes roles in iconic movies such as Speed, Terminator 2, Judgment Day, and The Inkwell. Folks, that's our time for the show. I'm Chris Rose. Thank you for listening. If you like what you hear, be sure to subscribe, like, rate, and review us. And check us out on X, formerly known as Twitter, at NY_TV. Bye now.